Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. You can follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. And I am joined by my friend, KC Bubba. You can follow him on the Twitter at BDAntric. KC, what's going on, man?
Not much. Just getting closer to the NFL draft. And as a baseball guy, I'm usually so, neck deep in baseball coverage, but we don't have it. So I've never been this involved and interested in a draft. It's either because the Dolphins have three first round picks or literally there's nothing else to do. So I am like all invested. I've listened to so many podcasts, obviously your War Room podcast, and you and Chris had a great football one and other shows I've been listening to. And I've never done this much draft coverage. I usually just kind of learn it all when it's all said and done and get ready for the football season. But I am enthralled with what's going on right now.
I appreciate it, man. I'm looking forward to the draft. I always get a little nervous leading up to it. It's just a lot of work, and then it's 3 days and then it's done,
Yeah, you know what women feel like.
Right. Yep, you're right. A lot of work and then 3 minutes and then it's done. So you're 100% correct on that, at least in my experience. So, but yeah, man, it's going to be a fun weekend. I'm looking forward to it. And it's just going to be crazy. We did on the most recent Black Book show, we did a mock draft. And the Welsh was kind of getting frustrated. I didn't want to throw more trades in. And I'm like, I don't know where these guys are going to trade, I have one. I think for sure is happening. I think your Dolphins are moving up to three to secure Tua. And I think they need to. I think the first two picks are locked. I think they're trading up. But I don't know. Like the rest of them, it's, I think the Broncos are trying to move up. I don't know if it's going to be with the Cardinals or with the Giants, though. And I know that the Broncos, if they don't trade up, then they want to move down. And the Browns are trying to move down. Like, there's so many moving pieces. Plus, with this year being so weird with all of the, just with all of the not being able to do pro days and not being able to see the prospects in person, you're going to see more teams trading away picks next year than you ever have before. So it's going to be a goddamn madhouse during the draft. And that's what we're here for, right? We're here for the madness.
I am here for the carnage. Like, we have had such, usually our carnage is just turning on the news every day and getting the newest report on what's going wrong. Now we get sports carnage, which is stuff we used to live for. That's what creates most of our podcasts and radio shows, is the carnage, not the good things, the carnage. And now we get it because it's going to be great. On Monday they did the mock Zoom draft or whatever, and the very first pick was already having issues, and John Elway came out and said, it went pretty good after they figured it out for the first half hour or so. So I cannot wait for this to happen. I really can't.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a complete disaster. And we're going to talk more about the draft a little bit later in the show, of course, but let's start off. I just want to start out with a little bit of baseball because I read this story and I thought it was nuts. And of course, the title sensationalized what actually was said in the discussion, like every title of every article has done since the beginning of time. But I thought it was interesting that Wade Boggs was talking about how he may have gotten the coronavirus from Chris Sale. And, you know, it was like, I think the title was, Boggs says he may have gotten coronavirus from Sale. And I was like, well, we did Sale get it? I don't remember reading that. But what I did remember reading is a lot of baseball players at the beginning of spring training getting very sick. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them had what we thought was the flu. Maybe some of it was the coronavirus. But Wade Boggs was in the locker room asking Chris Sale, like, you know, are you better? Because he had pneumonia. I think Chris Sale had pneumonia. And he said, yeah, I feel better now. And, you know, it's not like we could tell. I mean, Chris Sale has always been skinny as hell. So it was that being that skinny, honestly, makes it.
Well, we already know it, Target. We already know us obese guys are more at risk than the skinny ones, so there's that.
Well, I mean, we're more likely to die from COVID. I think pneumonia, we're more likely to survive because we can't eat. So we don't have to eat. But Wade Boggs then got really, really sick after talking to Chris Sale, and he kind of said, hey, look, I'm interested to see what this antibody test says, because I think I may have had coronavirus because it's as sick as I've ever been in my life. And I was talking to Chris Sale. So I thought that was, it was just an interesting article to read because number one, it was sensationalized. And number two, this actually could have happened. You know, Chris Sale could have had 100%. The virus.
Yeah. I think honestly, I know people have talked about it. I think a lot of people have had this but already. I know it's kind of ironic because I got to meet up with you in Scottsdale, but like 2 days after I got back from Phoenix, I think it was in the airport, I was sicker than a dog for like a week to 2 weeks. I've never been that sick before. Like I was really, really sick, not pneumonia sick, but sick. And then my wife got it, same thing. So that's why when I read this Boggs story, it's like, yeah, I can kind of relate to this. I wouldn't be shocked if it was going around beforehand and Chris Sale being sick and then passing it off to Boggs and other players. Like you said, we heard it all been getting sick. There's a lot of stories about that, you know, in reality, you know, 60 to 70% of people might have already had this, if not more, and we don't know it. That's why Boggs even says in the article that I read that he's looking forward to the antibody test to see if he had it, if Sale had it. And hey, one good thing that can come out of this article, if this is true, quicker return to baseball. Antibodies, folks. Right. So let's look at the positives here. Always trying to spin zone this stuff.
But, Wade Boggs' blood fuels the return of baseball. That would be amazing. Yeah,
see, Always Sunny was onto something. You know, Boggs drinks 100 beers on a plane flight, and he's a god to the guys in the bar. But little did we know that blood that was alcohol just soaked at one point in time will now cure coronavirus.
That episode was one of my favorites.
Just one like of the best ever.
Seeing Charlie so hammered. And I don't know if you knew this, but when they were filming that, when Mac threw him the ball and he, like, cranked it, they only had one ball. So they were planning they thought he was going to miss a couple times and they were going to be able to record it. But he's like, we just had the one ball. We had to use the one take. So, and it worked because, I don't know, like, I don't know if Charlie was really drunk, but he played a great drunk in that scene for sure. He's, I got all the numbers just screaming out random crap and knocked that one out. But I thought this was an interesting story because it's easily passed. I mean, we saw how easily it's passed from the NBA stuff. You know, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, and then Christian Wood got it, who was guarding Rudy Gobert the night before. And it was just the stuff spreads like wildfire. And I thought that was a little bit crazy, but this actually could be a true story. I mean, I don't know if Wade Boggs' blood is going to fuel the return to baseball, but, you know, I like it as a storyline anyway, right?
Yeah, I like that. And like when you look at, Wade Boggs talks about how he was shaking his hand a lot. Like, I don't understand why he shook it more than one time, but that's a whole other story for another day, maybe. But when I look at Boggs, and it reminded me when I read the article, he still has like a luscious, like amount of hair. He looks like you, but he's a lot older. And he's
Bogman, you know, I could probably hit 300 on a consistent basis.
So. Yeah, Uncle Wade, we got it. it's ironic. Every time I see Wade Boggs now, he looks like he doesn't age a whole lot. He reminds me of like the Charlie Sheen of baseball. And if you listen to the drinking stories, maybe there's something to it. Maybe Tiger Blood's the answer. I don't know. I'm just curious. I'm spitballing here, Boggs. I'm really going for broke here.
Well, you know, it seemed like when you see the headline of that article, you think, man, is Wade Boggs pissed off at Chris Sale for potentially giving him coronavirus? But he's like, nah, I'm just interested to see if I had it, you know, and if I did, I probably got it from Chris Sale, which means he probably got it and didn't even know it himself. You know what I mean? I mean, I thought the Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell stuff was kind of funny. Because I was like, I wonder what the worst disease you can give to someone is and then still have them forgive you. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, when your brother's your brother's.
Right, right. But I'm not really talking about, I mean,
I know what you're talking about.
Like, you know, if you're pissing razor blades, is that forgivable? I don't know. I've heard that that's some of the worst pain ever. Never had it. But
quote unquote heard. We got you.
You know, well, yeah. I mean, you know, stuff happens when you're living life out there and you're taking your chance and shooting your shots and stuff. But I don't know if that's if like something like that's forgivable. So like what's the thing you could acquire from another person and still be forgiving, Bubba? Have you ever sat down and thought about that?
You're going to throw me on the table on a show that has to make you edit this out. This could be fun. I'm going to just kind of bite my tongue on that one. But the razor blades.
Your tongue.
The razor blades would probably be a pretty bad one. Yeah, I think the one that you know, gives you a lot of spots on your back, that could be a problem as well. Ask Magic Johnson. I don't have enough money to cure it like he did. There's a few. Like, there's some that, you know, everyone can get and fix.
I don't think the HIV is forgivable. Like, you can't forgive that.
So, no, I don't. I
because you can't afford it. Like if I own,
that's what I said. I don't have the money to pay for it.
Yeah, if I own 150 Subways or whatever Magic Johnson owns, I could probably afford that.
Well, I wouldn't be sharing what he had either.
Right, right, exactly. Don't be a fool. Wrap your tool.
Just remember that they said on Office Space, what would you do with $1 million, Bogman? Two chicks at the same time. So it's real simple.
I think I would have Peter's answer. You know, I would do nothing. That's exactly what I would do.
Nothing.
Which, you know, you don't have to have $1 million. That's
yeah.
I got a cousin that doesn't have any money. He don't do S. You know, I love it. That movie's so great.
It's amazing.
But I kind of thought that, you know, the Donovan Mitchell Rudy Gobert thing. I almost feel like it can't be that like as bad as it's being publicized. Like,
no,
is Donovan Mitchell really that mad about, like, yeah, Rudy Gobert was being an idiot. Everybody knows that. He's, you know, they were going to cancel the NBA season anyway, but he's kind of the guy that sparked the whole shutdown, and that pissed off a lot of people. Like, Rudy Gobert is going to have to just live with that for the rest of his life.
How did Rudy know he had it? Someone else is going to get it. They're going to do it. Like, these guys were not going to not go out to the clubs and stuff. So
right.
it was going to happen one way or another.
Well, everyone assumes he's first because he was the one going around touching microphones and people and all that stuff. But he could have got it after he did all that nonsense. So nobody knows.
Something about throw the first stone, live in a glass house, something like that. So just figure that one out as you go, Donovan Mitchell.
Now, the Welsh and I talked about this on our most recent baseball pod that we put out on Monday. Yasiel Puig has had multiple offers, but he wanted more money to play in Miami because Cuban people will expect him to go 5 for 5 on a nightly basis. That was his quote. I love it because it's so crazy. It's such a Yasiel Puig thing. And then we kind of got into talking about how, you know, it's like the stuff that he does on the field is kind of crazy, and I don't like all of it. Like, I'm not the traditionalist, like you got to listen to the unwritten rules of the game and blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm not George Carlin in that sense, but I don't like, you know, the stuff that he's had to live through and the fact that he's doing, like, you know, all kinds of humanitarian work in Miami right now. You got to respect that stuff. You know, such a hard road to come to the U.S. to actually play baseball. And then also having, you know, just a big heart. And, you know, seeing him, like, I know that he went and visited cancer patients in Cleveland. He did a lot of stuff for charities in L.A. Like, he's a good dude. But he is a guy that's tough to root for. So what are your thoughts about, you know, I'm a Diamondbacks fan, you're a Giants fan, and Puig was a Dodger for a long time, so it's tough to like him at all. So kind of how have you saw yourself viewing Yasiel Puig, and do you think that he actually does have all these offers out on the table?
I hated him when he was on the Dodgers. The second he left, I was a Yasiel Puig fan because I love everything about him. I love the personality. Like you said, he's a great guy off the field. The second he went to Cleveland, he was already helping out the community. Like you said, he hadn't even been there for that long. Look at how he acted in Cincinnati for like the few months. He already was traded, and he comes out of the locker room and gets in a fight with his former teammates. Like, that is like legit funny stuff right there. I love everything about Yasiel Puig. The dude licks his bat. He's got a personality. Like, we embrace these personalities in the NBA, but in Major League Baseball, it's kind of frowned upon, which is goofy. I think he's got offers, but at the same time, I'm kind of wondering how true it is, because you figured he would have signed by now. Like, Domingo Santana signed a $1.5 million deal. If that's the market for these guys, and I know Yasiel Puig's much better than Domingo Santana, you'd imagine if someone's offering him $10 million, you might want to go grab that. Now, maybe what Puig's saying is, they're expecting him to go 5 for 5 in Miami. Well, it's the Cuban culture there in Miami. They're probably going to make so much money off Puig Miami Marlins gear. He probably wants something out of that. I'm guessing that has something more to do than the 5 for 5.
Makes more sense. Yeah,
it's his way of saying, I want more money because you're going to make a ton off of me. Like, they could have bobbleheads.
We didn't even think of that. That's a great point.
So much stuff they can make off Puig. And then he goes and helps out in the community and go to like the Cuban little neighborhoods and all this kind of stuff. They can sell a Cuban sandwich and call it the Puig. They can do a million things and make so much money off Yasiel Puig. It isn't even funny because he's like the big Cuban star that kind of started the whole revolution of players that are here now in this latest regime. He's the face, and Miami would be the perfect place for him. So I think that's more the argument. It's just his goofy way of saying they expect me to go 5 for 5 because they'll get more butts in the seat because Puig's on the team.
Right, right. I think you're right about that, and it's tough to know where to rank him in fantasy. I mean, the Welsh and I were both talking about how we kind of dropped him way off because he doesn't have a team and there's a transaction freeze right now and all that stuff. So it's kind of tough to know where he's going to end up. And I don't think I'll raise him until he actually does sign on the dotted line, because it's a shorter season now. So your contract's going to be, legitimately smaller because it's probably only going to be 100 games max for this season, should they even play. So if he's willing to sit out 162 games, he's probably also more than willing to sit out, 100 games at this point. So I think you kind of have to keep him low as far as your ranks go, and you got to have a backup plan if you are going to draft him. So I'm going to have him as a post 150 player in my rankings right now. Where do you kind of see him as far as fantasy goes? Should we start ramping up and getting drafts going in the next month or so?
Well, I just pulled up my rankings, and I did them last on April 2nd. So it's been a little while, but there really hasn't been much to do. I have him as my 32nd outfielder. I know I'm higher than most, and you're not going to draft him as the 32nd outfielder. You're going to get him at a very good value because he's going much later. At the same time, it's the old theory, if you're going to take a young prospect like a Lou Bob or something like that, the risk involved there, you can also take a risk with a Yasiel Puig. So like you said, if you're drafting this player, have a backup plan as you're drafting. But you'd have to imagine once we actually do get dates and we're having a season, Puig is going to find his way on the roster. And he literally has 20-20 upside on a full season. The dude is so super talented. You're going to get a steal at his draft price right now.
Yeah, I got him significantly lower than you. I got him at 51 among outfielders.
Well, I looked like around 48 is where I have Justin Upton. He goes around there.
Yeah. That's kind of in that neighborhood. I got him around like Peralta and Chu and guys like that. But we got to hit a break, so stick with us. We'll be back to talk about the NFL draft. It's ITL on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.w, call me, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm here with Casey Bubba. Casey, plug all your stuff and things.
All the stuff and things right now, it's pretty much Bench with Bubba. Other podcasts are coming in and out. From time to time, a Bench with Bubba, you'll get 3 to 4 times a week some football coverage here and there. This week, we'll have Matt Gajewski helping with wide receivers and tight ends for the draft. He's very solid. We'll have a Bubba in the bat flip. Wednesday, if all things go well, have a little KBO preview with Dan Kurtz. That'll nice. Be fun. Get a little chatter there and some other fun stuff coming down the pipeline of Bench with Bubba. And then Rotoballer, right? And once or twice a week over there, going to do some videos for them and just hanging out with the ITL Army. I'm having a lot of fun in the groupie room. That's all I got to say. Because if people think I'm sarcastic on this, it's real fun in there.
Yeah, I mean, we are talking a lot about the draft, a lot of rumors flying around right now, a lot of stuff that's not making the Welsh happy. Like, all he wants more than anything is Jerry Jeudy. I mean, and this is the year where the Niners can actually take a wide receiver. I mean, he wants a wide receiver or running back every single year. He's not happy with defensive linemen. Yeah, I mean, Nick Bosa could make anybody happy. He's not happy with offensive linemen. He was upset when they took McGlinchey, when they traded back up into the first round to take Garnett. A couple years ago, he was not happy about that, which makes sense because Garnett wound up being worthless. That was the Chip Kelly year. But, he likes wide receivers, and this is a year that Jerry Jeudy could fall to them, but all the rumors are teams are trying to trade up ahead of the Raiders and the Niners to actually take, and the Jets, to take Jeudy. So it might be a year where he's disappointed with what happens with the Niners picks. So you have been fairly sarcastic about that in the group me room, which I always enjoy. I always say, and he's going to do day one with me, or a big chunk of day one, probably not the whole thing.
He's going to go until pick 13.
Right. I think pick 13 is probably about when his team will run out anyway. And then when the Niners take, when they take Cesar Ruiz, the center from Michigan, and he flips his table over. That's what you want to be watching. And day one is going to be free for everyone. Day two and three we're going to put behind the paywall on Patreon, which you can sign up for as little as a buck. I mean, it's not expensive. But day one is going to be free for all. So hopefully we can get him in there. We still have to test and see if OBS is going to work and all of that good stuff. But if we can get him on there and then see the Niners but take, Derek Brown or take Cesar Ruiz or...
Any offensive lineman, any of them. I
don't
care
who it
is.
That's not a wide receiver. And I think the Welsh would be fairly upset. You know what? I think he would be okay. Like, if Javon Kinlaw fell, I think he would be okay with Kinlaw. But if Kinlaw, if they take Kinlaw and Jerry Jeudy still on the board... Flip the table over. Yeah, it's like Will Ferrell. You remember the Will Ferrell skit where he's just yelling at his family at the dinner table, and then he goes, "F this, I'm leaving." That's the Welsh during like every single NFL draft that I've ever watched with him.
I just want to do one more shameless plug real quick for those that are wondering about the Patreon. If you guys want pure gold, like if you like any bit, just like a slight sliver of this show, there's a good chance, technically, if it works, I'll be on for rounds two and three on Friday, and there's no filter there. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, that is going to be I'm excited for the draft. Like, I get nervous and all that stuff leading up to it, but then once it's going, I'm in it, and we are here for the mess. And this year, like we said, I mean, they did the mock draft, and they were already running into a little bit of messiness. They said that after a couple glitches early, it ran really smooth after that. So fingers crossed. I mean, we'll see. But Bubba, the most recent rumors, which just for the record, I don't believe at all. I don't think that they're real. I don't know why they're coming out. I think it's just all, you know, clickbait to try to get people's numbers up. But there are rumors, and I think most recently substantiated by Peter King, who, while Peter King is a goofball, and most of the time the things that he says is, I talk to NFL players, and they say things to me, which is not interesting to me, but I know a lot of people like Peter King. He was kind of in on this Tua, you know, possibly getting picked by the Patriots. It's not a Patriot thing to trade up into the top five to take a player. Now, it's the last 20 years, it's not been a Patriot thing to not have Tom Brady on your roster. So true. We can't rule anything out at this point, but I just think it's a bunch of BS. What do you think about this, you know, as a Dolphins fan and you wanting Tua, what do you think about the potential of the Patriots trading up?
Patriots are not going to trade up to three. Very simple. Not going to happen. I think it's entertaining as all get up because it makes, you know, people like myself have fun with it. It makes some people that don't have an ounce of reality in them stress out. But there's no chance that the Bill Belichick era, if Belichick was gone as well as Brady, okay, we'd have a conversation. But with Belichick there, it's not happening. There's no way. If it happens, it's because Kraft did it, and Belichick's going to walk out of that Zoom meeting. So that is what will be taking place. Like that, it's basically me or the third pick. That's the ultimatum is what's going to take place there. And you never know. Maybe there's a side chick that a little special place in Florida that has a third pick that Kraft likes. I don't know. But we'll see how it goes. The biggest reason I think this is happening
she told me she'd give me 10 for free if I exactly. just moved I up bet, and took Tua.
Hey, I bet you Kraft really knows how to say Tungvaluaya. Yeah, but I bet you that the biggest thing here that makes this a potential rumor, just to make it fun, you know, you got the former Patriots defensive coordinator, head coach of the Lions now, and then you have the Patriots, obviously. So at least it looks like a viable mix. They're just getting the price tag up so that a division rival of the Patriots has to spend more draft capital. That's all this is, people. Look at the conspiracies. Everyone's looking at Corona conspiracies. Look at the NFL draft. Here we are, folks. I'm just having fun with it, but come on. This is all to humor us. There's a lot better theories involved. Like you've said many, many times, and you've held true to it, because there's other rumors right now that are tilting me way more than this one. But
it's the Justin Herbert rumors, yes. Right? Like that.
If you think the Welsh will lose his stuff, you're going to regret not having me on the air on Thursday if the Dolphins draft Justin Herbert.
Oh, man. Yeah, and Joey wants to come on, too. I think we're going to have Joe on Saturday to kind of, you know, talk about the wrap-up and stuff. I mean, there's still a lot of rounds on Saturday still, too, so there's a lot of action going on. But Saturday is like it's hard to describe. Saturday is like the morning after a party when you're going to have another party that night. Like, yeah, that's kind of what it feels like.
Clear the cobwebs real quick, recap and get ready.
Right. You like everyone's kind of hungover from doing the last two nights, partying hard, and then you got to get up early on Saturday. So you get up early. I mean, for me, I got to get up early on Saturday. I'm glad I'm not an East Coaster because that morning call would come a little bit too early for me. I think it starts at like 10 our time or something. So I just have to wake up earlier than I usually do. That's all. Or right in the range. You know, I like to sleep in on Saturdays, but I don't do it during college football season. I'm up at 8. So, you know, to watch an hour of the pregame and then the games kick off at 9. So
look at you.
Well, I mean, I was working for Sports Grid all year doing, the updates, during college football season. I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing that again this year or not, but I would like to. It's fun. So, but anyway, that Saturday, it's like you wake up, you're kind of a little hungover from the previous two nights, and you can just tell that the guys are running out of energy. Now, it might be different this year because they're at home. They're not traveling. You know, with traveling, you get that traveling gut. You know what I mean?
Hotel sleeping.
Yeah, the hotel sleeping where you're not sleeping as well as you normally do. So maybe this year everyone will be way more energized. But you can feel it in the, you know, from the people at the draft most of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, we're ready for this to be over, and this is the longest day. You know, Saturday's the longest day. That's why they started early, because they do 4, 5, 6, and 7 all in the same day. And there's lots of compensatory picks in those rounds as well. So they don't even start until the end of the day two in the third round. So it's a lot of moving parts. That's when you get the things like the orangutan making the pick and stuff, and Mike Mayock just being so mad about it, stuff like that. I miss Mayock.
I think Mayock's the only one that enjoys Saturday because he gets so angry about the guys that deserve to go higher and they're getting no respect. He gets so angry.
My favorite part about those is, and he did it last year, you know, his first year as the GM of the Raiders, and he'll do it this year too, where it's ask the truck to see if they have the video of a small school guy. I bet our boy Emery Hunt would be pretty good at those too.
So, but yes, I agree with you, though. I miss Mayock a ton. And he's probably not long for the NFL, let's just be real, unless something magical changes in Las Vegas. It's just probably not his thing. But he is amazing doing draft coverage, one of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I would, you know, I never wish him to lose his job, especially because that's, like, his dream job is being the GM of a team. So I'm all for him doing that. But it would not hurt my feelings if he was like, you know what, this is not for me. I'm going to go back to TV. Because I enjoy seeing him on television. So, but anyway.
Or you could just take his job.
That would be fine, too. Of course, nobody wants to see me on TV. But
I beg to differ.
Yeah, you're right. Men's Warehouse Plus Size would really love to see me on TV.
It's called Men's XXL. They will have everything you need.
Yeah, DXL. Hit me up, man. I'm all ready for a promotion. That's right. But there's all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, Justin Herbert is not only being rumored to your Dolphins, and I even saw, like, the Roto World guys did a mock on YouTube the other day, and they put Justin Herbert on the Dolphins, which surprised me a little bit. I've seen it the most recent mocks. A lot of people are just flat out skipping Tua or moving him down and saying the Dolphins are going to take Justin Herbert. Because these are the rumors that you hear right before the draft, is that. But I think taking Justin Herbert is akin to taking Culpepper over Drew Brees. And I like Herbert. I think Herbert can be, I'm not a Herbert hater. You know, I'm not someone that says, this guy's going to be a loser for his whole career. I just don't want him to be thrown in the fray this year. I think he needs to sit a full year. Now, you know, I talked about this on the Black Book with Joe. Joe was like, you really think they let him sit the whole year? They don't do that with quarterbacks. You know, E.J. Manuel was the last quarterback to get picked in the first round and not play a snap his rookie year. Or not start a game, excuse me, his rookie year. So Patrick Mahomes started, like, the Week 17 game that didn't matter. So he didn't get, you know, a real start. And there's a couple guys that have had that. But most first-round quarterbacks start at some point for their team in the season. But I think Lamar Jackson might have only had a couple late starts his rookie year too.
It makes sense because usually you're playing on a bad team anyway, so you're not going to be in it.
Right, exactly. Season. So,
but like the Dolphins getting Herbert. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no,
the Dolphins
go ahead.
Getting Herbert. It's, and you mentioned you compare him to Culpepper because this is exactly what it is. It's Brees and Culpepper all over again. It's the injuries things all over again.
Right.
And it's what the Dolphins do best. It's just getting the same type of we're going to settle. Situation here. Not saying Herbert's bad. Culpepper was good too. Not going to disagree with these. But settling for one of these two, it's like the old Ron White joke. After a while, when you keep effing the same red M&Ms, you want a darn blue one. So let's mix it up, please, and go for Tua, the athletic, talented quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Tua is an absolute franchise quarterback. And I think Burrow and Tua are in this class. I don't know if anyone else is going to develop into that. In fact, I would bet that nobody else does develop.
I would rather have Jalen Hurts in the second round than Justin Herbert.
I would too. And I'm not. Yeah, I absolutely would too. I think they're kind of in the same boat. I mean, our guy Emery said he wouldn't take Joe Burrow. He'd rather take Chase Young and then take Hurts in the second round if he was the Bengals. Because
which I don't disagree with.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea
either. If you can game plan it that way and build your team, it's almost like fantasy sports, lineup construction. Right. If you can build your team that way, it makes 100% sense.
RPV.
But there you go. The Black Book.
The Black Book.
Forgot to plug that. You can still buy the Black Book, folks.
Right, right. And I'm going to have – I mean, my chapters are due – in less than a month here, so
oh my goodness, that soon.
I gotta get on my horse, but I can't start until after the draft anyway. So, but anyway, I mean, I think we're also hearing these Justin Herbert rumors that the Giants have put in the work on Justin Herbert, which is absolute nonsense. I think now, look, they got a new coach coming in there, Joe Judge. And maybe Danny Dimes isn't his thing. Maybe Danny Dimes is not his bag. But I think...
Could you imagine the Giants burning down if they took Herbert after a year after Danny Dimes?
Well, they'd have to trade Daniel Jones. Yes. Jones would have to be traded. It'd be a lot like the Rosen and Kyler Murray bit.
Agreed.
From last year. But I think what would happen is... I think why you're hearing this is because after the Dolphins trade up to 3 to get Tua, which I think is all but done... I just think that they're still trying to hash out one more piece. I think it's between the first second round pick for the Dolphins or that last first round pick for the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. I think that's the sticking point there. But I think the Giants now want to move back with the Chargers by saying, hey, we have done the work, or saying maybe someone else will trade up. I bet you'll hear that rumor before the week's out that someone else has contacted the Giants to move up to get Herbert so that the Chargers pay an extra third or fourth or whatever it is to move up two spots to get Justin Herbert too. So
it's all shenanigans.
It's shenanigans. It's posturing. It's so much weird stuff going on in the
NFL. Let's just be fair. The Giants putting in work on Justin Herbert is like me putting in work, looking up weight loss apps on my phone to never use them.
Right.
Like, that's what this is.
Like their ads, they come up on Instagram, you know, like I've seen them. You know, they're there. They exist. Yeah, but
Roman
it doesn't mean I'm
there. I've never bought them because I've never needed to use them.
I think we could both use
them. Well, I probably need to use them. I've never had
them. Right, right. Exactly. Like, I think we both could use them, but we're just not going to. You know, you're better off with an Outback Steakhouse coupon for me. So, but we got to hit a break. So when we come back, we are going to cover more of these rumors, potential trades. Leonard Fournette getting a bunch of run here recently after his comments about Cam Newton. So we got a lot to talk about after this break. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
You.
Welcome back. In This Love Time, you guys know what that means. It is the last segment of In This League on the Sports Grid for today. Be sure you are checking all of our work out. You can follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. You can follow Casey Bubba at BD Entrick. And check out the In This League Patreon, where we have, I'm going to have first-year rookie draft ranks for you on Sunday, the day after the draft. Those are going to be posted up. I've got dynasty rankings right now that will be adjusted and coming out the following week, along with redraft ranks coming out the week after as well. The Welsh has his baseball minor league, you know, 500 top 500 prospects list. Plus, he's doing profiles for those guys right now. We're going to update our fantasy baseball rankings at the beginning of May as well. You've got streams every week, including 3 days of the NFL draft. So we are putting the work in. We are trying to get you guys on over to Patreon. And if you would support us, we would absolutely love it. But we're talking about a lot of these rumors. And I got to tell you, Bubba, I did team previews, which you can go check out over at In This League. I split it up between the first 16 picks and the last 16 picks as far as the draft goes into two different episodes. So episode 1 through 16 is out today, and then 17 to 32 will be out tomorrow. But I don't know that anyone has a worse roster in the NFL than the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it's rough to look at. This team was in the AFC Championship 2 years ago. You know, they were a blown call away from going to the Super Bowl with Blake Bortles, you know. But now that, you know, they've traded away Ramsey, you know, a lot of the defense is gone. Blake Bortles turned into a pumpkin, and Gardner Minshew is not that good. And then Leonard Fournette come out here and say they should go after Cam Newton, which he's 100% right. But now they're talking about trading him. And now all of a sudden, you know, since we hear about them talking about trading him, oh, they've been doing it since the combine. I'm sure. Right. Yeah, me too. I've been dieting since the combine, guys. Everybody knows that. It's all a bunch of crap. But Yannick Ngakoue is out there fighting with the GM on Twitter. It is an absolute S show in Jacksonville. I think that, I mean, we both think that Ngakoue gets moved during the draft at some point, right?
Yep. Do we think that this Ngakoue excitement all of a sudden is 420 induced, or is this serious?
No, I think it's
serious. I'm kidding. Because I'm just going back to what you and Welsh said last week. Like, follow all of your favorite athletes on social media for 420, because no one's going to drug test them now. So it was just ironic that it happened on the same day. The Jags, just an absolute firestorm. It's unbelievable. Like, I love Minshew just for his persona. Is he a great NFL quarterback? No, he's a great backup quarterback. Like, he's very good to fill in times of need, but to lead a team for 16 games, no, I'm not foolish there. So there's nothing there. He sells jerseys. He sells T-shirts. Heck, I might buy one still with the Jaguar with a mustache on it. They're cool. Like, I get it. But he's not a professional quarterback. And now you're going to lose Leonard Fournette, who I know you are a huge Fournette fan. I enjoy the heck out of Fournette. I see a lot of sides on both sides of the argument. Like, I agree with both of them. Like, okay, running backs don't get paid certain amounts anymore. Eventually they run out and the deals run out and so on and so forth. I get it. Fournette's a little different to me, like where you are. Like, he's that talented. He's a workhorse. He's been on a bad team. He can still do things that people think he can't do. And hey, maybe he can do even more if he's on the right system to allow him to do that. It's just hard to see teams going to trade for him when there's, you know, 5, 6, 7 running backs, obviously not the Fournette standards coming into the draft, but guys that they can control for 4, 5, 6 years super cheap and take a gamble on. That's where I find it hard for guys to go trading. But it is crazy how the Jags are just blowing this whole thing up. There was one time, like you said, 2 years ago they were in this. You have the Colts getting better. The Texans somehow always win no matter what Bradley wants to do wrong. This division continues to make things interesting. And now the Jaguars are going to make it easier for some of these teams. So I don't know. Like, it's just a mess down there. And at least they have the pool so people can show up and get drunk in a pool and watch football. But that's about all they got in Jacksonville.
I mean, it's tank for Trevor. I mean, that's basically they're doing,
man,
this year.
What a waste of talent. Like, there's nothing around him. They released Marquise Lee, and I know he wasn't great in the NFL, but he was a guy that came out talented. And then they got Keenan Cole. He was talented, and he's not doing anything.
DJ Chark had a good year. Like, look, there are pieces on this roster that aren't terrible, right? There are plenty of them.
There's a lot more that are, it seems like, though.
Right. But you're right. I mean, a lot of guys get to Jacksonville, and then they don't kind of fulfill their destiny. You know what I mean? Like,
it's
Miles,
like most
Jack.
People, they move down there to retire. And unfortunately, these guys forget they have to still play football.
Yeah, Miles Jack was You know, he's been a disappointment. It's like ever since they paid him, he's been terrible. They traded Calais Campbell for a bag of chips or whatever it was. Ridiculous trade they did with the Ravens that made the Ravens just so much better and that I hated. So I think someone's going to get Leonard Fournette on a deal. And I do think it's funny that everyone is discrediting Fournette. Fournette's not that good. You know, our guy Evan Silva from RotoWorld said that he would make the Chiefs offense worse. Like, that's eye-rolling to me.
I don't understand how that's possible.
Well, like,
really
look,
don't.
He doesn't fit. He doesn't fit Kansas City very well. But he's not going to make their offense worse. You think he's not better than Damian Williams? Williams is decent, but he's not Leonard Fournette. And everyone's like, well, you know, Fournette was just volume. Well, he was also volume against 9 and 10-man boxes because Gardner Minshew couldn't throw the ball 15 yards down the field. So, you know, I mean, surprisingly enough, Gardner Minshew did have some moments where he looked pretty good.
Yeah.
He looked a lot better than he looked a lot better than I gave him credit for sure. Mm-hmm. But this the Leonard Fournette deals where people are talking so much smack about him. I mean, let's not forget, you know, look, and this play hurt me to my core when the Jaguars were just beating the piss out of the Steelers. And it's the fourth quarter. The Steelers are kind of holding in. They're down 10. There's like 7 minutes left. You could get back in it. Fournette broke off like a 70-yard touchdown run. And during that run, he hit, I think it was like 23 miles an hour or something like that. Yep. It was some ridiculous. It wasn't that fast, but it was ridiculously fast. And it was the fastest run in the NFL that year. I think that was 2018. So don't tell me he's not fast. Maybe he's not as agile as some other running backs, and he can't dance like some other guys do. But you give him a hole, he's going to burn through it, and he can run somebody over. So you get him a little sliver of daylight, and he's going to make it happen. We saw that in the Titans game on Thursday night, I think that was last year, where he was at like negative 16 yards going into the fourth quarter, and then he broke off an 80-yard run. You know, he got chased down from behind and didn't score. But put him in Kansas City, the dude's going to fall in the end zone 10 times. You know that's going to happen. And he can catch the ball. He had 76 receptions last year. So,
and that's a sneaky one. People don't credit him for that. They think he's just like this, you know, workhorse running back. But he catches the ball a ton. He just didn't find the end zone. In this world of people that live in fantasy, that's all they care about. And they forget, you know, there's other circumstances involved of the team he plays for and so on and so forth. Like, they relied on running the football, trying. Like, it was like the old Tampa Bay team. Let's score, like, 14 to 17 points and pray we win. That's right. What they were doing time and time again. They weren't trying to go crazy with things. It just didn't work out. But real talk here, because like I said, you know, he's going to make over $4 million this year. Eventually he's going to need a new deal sooner rather than later. These guys are going to be drafting potential running backs in the draft that they can control for cheap. What's a reasonable draft? Like a fourth round pick, third round maybe? Like it discredits the talent because I agree he's still like an uber talent. If money aside, I'd take him with one of the top running back options out of the draft, but we have to factor all that in. So how would you go about, like, what do you think is a fair price?
I'm not trading him for anything less than a third if I'm the Jaguars. Now, I understand the teams don't want to pay that, but this running back class has some talent at the top, but there's like five guys that you can take and depend on from game one on. You know, it's Swift, Dobbins, Jonathan Taylor, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Cam Akers. After that, it gets dicey as far as wanting someone to come in and start from day one. And you also have to remember that this is going to be the year where we have the least amount of OTAs. Maybe True. Preseason is cut off, maybe down to only 2 weeks or something. You know, if they may move the whole season back, so maybe these guys get a, you know, some normalcy as far as camps and stuff like that go, but I don't see that happening. You know, I think we're gonna have some limitations, so rookies are gonna be behind the eight ball going into the year anyway, regardless of position. So I think that you need to take that into account. And if you're trading for Leonard Fournette, I think you probably want to sign him. I mean, there are plenty of teams, like, you know, if Pittsburgh decided they wanted to go trade for Leonard Fournette, and then, you know, they can take whoever in the second round and have him be the guy, they could franchise him next year. Now, we've already done that dance, and I didn't like the result, of course, with Le'Veon Bell sitting a whole year and then, you know, getting flipped to the Jets and all that stuff. I think that if you trade for Fournette, you have to have in mind that you're going to pay him. So I think that's a good mindset to go in with. Not everyone's going to have that. And, you know, if you could trade a fifth or sixth round pick, then who cares? You know, who cares what you do with them? Use them for a year and then let them go, or use them for a year and then tag him and let him sit out. Who cares? It only cost you a fifth or a sixth round pick. But I think, you know, for the Jaguars to get anywhere at all this year, to have some semblance of an offense, you know, just for the people that don't like Leonard Fournette, or you don't think he's upper echelon like I do, and I don't know, Bubba, if you think he's upper echelon, but he's good. Just think about the difference of having him versus an 8-9-man box versus Ryquil Armstead. Because that's
I agree. That's what it was fun in the group rooms. People are already like, okay, if he gets traded, what's that do for Armstead? And I think you, myself, and some others flat out said, if they trade Fournette, they're drafting a running back that's going to be better than Ryquil Armstead.
I mean, they could. I think Armstead would probably lead a committee this year, is what I think.
That's fair.
You know, I mean, if they go and they take, you know, an Edwards-Helaire, or they take Cam Akers or somebody. I mean, Cam Akers make a lot of sense because he's another local dude, Florida State, which is, for whatever reason, what the Jaguars do. They like to take a lot of SEC talent, ACC talent. Which is good. I mean, those are good conferences, but they're not everything. So I don't know, man. It like those rumors were weird to me. I hope Leonard Fournette gets traded, and I hope it's to Pittsburgh. Can you imagine what Pittsburgh. My reaction is going to be if he gets traded to Pittsburgh? I'll lose my damn mind.
It'd be almost as good as you know, Jerry Jeudy going to the Niners. So it's going to be pretty wild. But on the Fournette thing, I'm with you that, you know, we talked about Puig earlier in the show about his value. Fournette's going to be a tremendous value. I just did that dynasty draft I was texting you about. I know it was only a 10-team league, but I think I got him in round 4 or something as my running back 2. Yeah, I got him and Mixon as my 2 running backs. I love Fournette. It's just a matter of if he would have found the end zone, people would love him. We saw the same thing with Kamara. It's just the world we live in. But Fournette's still so young that you put him in the right format. Like, I think the Falcons are interesting, too, because they're looking for running backs as they've been replacing guys. They could be interesting. The Steelers would be great. There is a lot to like with Fournette, and someone's going to be very happy they got him on the cheap.
He'd be best with the Niners. I don't think they can afford him. They're in all kinds of cap problems, and that's why they've talked about trading D Ford or Quan Alexander in this draft, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'll deal with my cap problems next year when they're problems. That's what I would do. You were just in the Super Bowl, right? You already traded a big piece in DeForest Buckner because you're not going to be able to re-sign him and he didn't want to play on the tag and all that stuff. That's fine. Trade him, get that 13th pick, maybe draft like a Javon Kinlaw if those wide receivers are gone. I think that's fine. But I think that, you know, Leonard Fournette being in San Francisco because he's best with a fullback and they have the best fullback in the league and Kyle Juszczyk, and they run the ball so much, Leonard Fournette would go apes. He would go crazy in San Fran. That'd be a lot of fun to see. I mean, and the Steelers just signed a fullback and Derek Watt too, but the Niners rumors have been weird as well. Like, they might trade 13, they might trade 31 to move back. Jamal Adams has been in trade rumors. The Falcons want to move up to get a corner, which they need more than a corner, but they need a lot of stuff. The Browns have been talking about wanting to trade back. The Raiders are being kind of stuck with CeeDee Lamb. I mean, what do you find is the most interesting? And it may not be any of those, but leading up to the draft, what do you find the most interesting about rumors happening right now?
I think a lot of the rumors that are fun is there's so many talented receivers, a good amount of running backs that we've talked about, but there's love for like the offensive linemen and a couple defensive players up top that there's it's like we said earlier, it's going to be chaos. Like, there's so many different ways. I think it's why these mock drafts we keep looking at are crazy, because there's rumors, like you just said, Raiders love CeeDee Lamb, but then there's a couple other teams that really like CeeDee Lamb, or they like Jerry Jeudy. Like, there's going to be guys hopping over people that just resets everything that makes it a lot of fun. So I'm curious to see how that goes. I want to see what the Falcons are going to do, because you mentioned they're trying to trade up for the defensive players. They're rumored to be trading all over the place. Like, they're interested in a lot of players. They really want to move around and make things happen. I think this is a lot of fun. This is going to be one of those that you can go get your guy draft, because you've mentioned without all the physicals and all that stuff will make things really interesting. But in the end, it's going to be a great and wild time on Thursday to kick things off. And I can't wait for it, as long as the Dolphins don't draft Justin Herbert.
Oh, man, I just can't wait for the salt on day 2 to talk about it, if something like that does happen.
Trust me, I have a special outfit I plan on wearing on Friday. It might get altered if Herbert's drafted.
I have a feeling that if they don't take Tua, they're not going quarterback this year.
That's what I'm thinking.
I think it's more something like that. So we'll have to see. But there's a lot of rumors. We're going to see more trades in this draft, I guarantee, than we've seen in any other draft. The only way we wouldn't see that is if there are all kinds of technical issues during the draft and teams can't contact each other for whatever reason. That's the only reason to me why there wouldn't be a ton of trades. But
over under how many trades in the first round?
Six.
Nice.
I think. I have a hard time nailing that number down, to be honest. So, but I would say somewhere around six, because you got to think a team's trading back in to the first as well, which happens every single year.
The back end to get Love makes so much sense.
Right. And that's I didn't put him in my most recent mock, but that is going to wrap it up for us. Remember, please follow us on the Twitter at Bogman Sports, at BDEntric. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/ITLArmy or inthisleague.com. We'll take you there, but the Welsh and I will be back to talk to you more about the NFL draft tomorrow. So it's In This League on the Sports Grid, and we will see you tomorrow. Take it easy, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.